Real sports talk for real sports fans. It's Jimmy B and TC. Here's Jim and Trent.
All right, everybody, welcome back in. It's our second hour as we take you all the way until 6 o'clock. Coming up at roughly about 5:15, Derek Peck, Hawkeye Heaven, is going to join us. And around 5:30-ish, Ken Silverstein, Big Ten Conference Insider, will be our guest. Trent, of course, the big news is naturally coming out of Iowa City and Fran McCaffrey's contract extension that took place in November, ironically, after a 24-point loss. The deal was apparently done. And then Scott Dockerman breaks the story about getting a open public forum to check into what Iowa has done, and boom, there's the contract. Mm-hmm. Do you, in your estimation, do you think eventually it would have been announced? And why were they trying to keep it under wraps? You got any ideas?
Well, I think it's pretty simple because they stink. It's been a hugely It's been a disappointing year. If Iowa was rolling around right now and they were, I don't know, they were 15-6 even, it wouldn't have been a big deal. But they come off the heels of going out to the Cayman Islands, getting throttled by Louisiana, getting beat by South Dakota State. They get blown out by Virginia Tech. Well, you're not going to really announce it then because there are some head scratch. Well, okay, we got Big Ten play. They'll beat Penn State and Indiana. Everything will be right. Maybe right before the Iowa State game will announce it. Well, then they lose both those games, and they lose to Iowa State. And then the Big Ten play starts up again, and they stink again, and they get beat by Michigan and Ohio State and Maryland and Rutgers. And There hasn't been a spot for it. I mean, you want to deliver this news when there's a good time for it, and this basketball season, there really hasn't been a good time to do it. I would say, I said this to you at the top, maybe after that Colorado game over in Sioux Falls, that was about the only time this year where it's felt good, and now it wasn't even announced. We still haven't seen a press release from the university. This is just Scott Dockerman going through, finding the records, getting the open records request, and finding out, oh, hey, look at this. They gave him a contract extension, and Gary Barta again gave stupid buyout money to a coach. Imagine that.
It's stunning to me that, and I understand that, You appreciate loyalty, and Barta obviously has that from Ferentz, and now, of course, he's got it from McCaffrey. Mm-hmm. Okay, I get that, and consistency. You're not changing coaches every 2 or 3 years, so that's always a plus. But what I don't understand, Trent, the buyout numbers are astronomical. And I mean, look, this is going to be a bad year. There's no way to sugarcoat it. It's lousy. And it's, they're not going anyplace. Hell, they're not even going to be invited to the CBI tournament. So what if next year is a downer year again? And the buyout is $10 million.
Well, it'll be nine next year, to be fair.
Okay, nine, yes, nine next year. Okay. So fans who will be going absolutely ballistic, and not only will they be carrying pitchforks and torches to McCaffrey's office, they're going to be doing that to Barta as well, don't you think?
Well, yeah, and Gary Barta is the one that I'm just continually confused by. Jim, you remember a year ago, to the spring, I didn't think he was going to survive what was happening with Jane Meyer and Tracy Griesbaum. The way that came out, the university, the case, the way that he handled it, and he didn't have any documentation. You are an athletic director. You work at a university level. This is elementary level stuff.
Yeah.
And you don't have anything documented, and it was just the. It was so eye-raising, but he got away. He was left off the hook, and he got a contract extension. And look, I know he raises money. You look at the facilities over there. They're beautiful. Big Ten Network money helps out certainly with that, but he's done a good job of raising money. You look across the landscape, though, at the University of Iowa, the athletic department. Football pays the bills, men's basketball second, wrestling, women's basketball third, fourth, and then there's a big trickle down from there. Outside of what the baseball program has turned into, look across that landscape. Year after year after year, they're 13th, 14th in the Big Ten in the all-sports standings. Year after year after year. Football had a great run. But when's the last time Iowa football won a Big Ten championship, Jimmy B? Do you know offhand?
I don't know offhand. I just know that they came within a whisker of winning in Indianapolis against Michigan State.
They did. 2004. 2004, okay. The last time that they won a Big Ten title. Basketball, I told you earlier, it's 1979. Yep. You have to go back that far.
Yes.
They won some Big Ten tournament titles under Steve Alford, but regular season titles. But it's not just those major sports. It's all the sports. And you just go around there. And a guy like that, I guess it's as simple as you keep bringing in money, do whatever you want, right? As long as your books are budgeted, you're fine. And you keep bringing in money for the athletic department, and we don't have to worry about it, and we don't have to take anything out of the general fund or out of tax money, then we're good. You do your thing, we'll do yours. Maybe that's just as simple as it is. There's a gap between the university and the athletic department, and as long as they're paying their bills, we'll keep our hands off. I don't know. I'm just searching for answers.
Yeah, right. No, I understand. I got you. It's amazing to me, absolutely amazing to me, the type of dollars that Barta just sort of bats around. And look, he lost nearly $7 million in the lawsuit, and then he tweeted out, well, don't worry, we have a slush fund and we'll cover it. Okay. Like, okay, no big deal. You just cost the university $7 million, and it's not a big deal. You'll just take it out of the slush fund. All right. And then to see this, and I think you're pretty close to being spot on when you talked about there was no good time to announce the contract extension. And maybe the Colorado game, like you mentioned, but then they went right in the dumpster right after that. And so maybe they were just chicken. Bawk, 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 bawk. Chicken! Chicken to announce that contract extension. They should have done it after they beat Wisconsin. Barta should have sent out a tweet right then. Hey, look what we did. We signed McCaffrey. Gave him an extension. Look what we just did. We beat Wisconsin. Woo-hoo. I shake my head, Trent. I just shake my head with some of the things that takes place in the athletic department there. It's amazing.
I'm right there with you. It's head-scratching at times.
Yeah.
It can be frustrating, but here we are, Fran McCaffrey. Well, there are actual games that are going to be going on here, Jimmy B. There's going to be games on the floor. Purdue going up against Michigan tonight. Maybe that'll be okay. But, well, it's a Thursday, and we haven't done it all week, Jimmy B. It's your favorite minute. Your favorite minute of the day, of course, Jimmy B's crappy NBA minute, as I try to load up the clip. And it won't play. Jim, not even the computer doesn't even want to hear. Oh, okay. All right. Here, it did get ready to go. Here we go, folks. Everyone's favorite segment. Time now for Jimmy B's crappy NBA minute.
Prison was unsealed in Chicago, Chicago Stadium. Ricky Mahorn hustling underneath, can't get it to fall. Jordan to the hoop, king in the air, score!
All right, Trent, this one's just for you, pal, because your NBA team, the Minnesota Timberwolves, are on the West Coast, and they will play Golden State tonight, and it is on TNT. So you'll be able to sit back and chill and watch it with baby Ella this evening. Look, T-Wolves are playing sensationally well. This will be a fun matchup to see how they handle Golden State in Oakland. The other big TV game tonight is Washington at OKC. All of a sudden, the Thunder have won five in a row, and Russell Westbrook is must-see TV. So if you're looking for something tonight and you're not really interested in the college game, try the NBA this evening, because those two games will...
It's over, Jim. Sorry.
Yeah.
Jimmy B, we know you love the NBA, but there's also some special ladies in your life I'm sure you love. You got any Valentine's ideas for the special young ladies in your life?
When is Valentine's Day?
It's the same this year. They're going to bring it up on February 14th.
Well, we're still in January.
We are, but it's...
I can't plan that far in advance,
well,
man.
It's time to start thinking a little bit about it. And good news for you. I got a place for you. Christopher's Fine Jewelry. It's on Merle Hay Road over in Des Moines. Valentine's Day. Don't be like Brinson. Don't wait till the last moment. Stop out there. A local jeweler. It's Christopher's Fine Jewelry. Visit them at 3427 Merle Hay Road in Des Moines and be better than Brinson. How's that sound?
I think most people are better than me. So they probably think of things like that where I'm like Space Case. It's over my head and gone. However, I will take that into account, Trent. Thank you.
Absolutely. We'll come back. We're going to talk some Hawkeyes on the other side. Derek Peck from Hawkeye Heavens next on Jimmy B and TC.
Hey, it's Tiki Barber.
And Brandon Tierney.
We are Tiki and Tierney, giving you the big scoop on all the games. Afternoons on the Big Talker, 1700 KBGG. Boom.
Hey, guys. This is Nate Adams. You want to know where to go for the best Valentine's Day gifts this year? Go to Christopher's Fine Jewelry. It's a tradition for the men in the Adams family to visit Christopher's because we trust their friendly, down-to-earth staff. No big sales pressure. They're happy to answer your questions and take the stress out of Valentine's Day shopping. Stop by Christopher's today at 3427 Merle Hay Road and tell them the Adams family sent you.
Are you in the mood for real, classic, homemade Italian food? Well, I have the spot for you. It's Villaggio. Two locations. The newest location in Urbandale, 2675 100th Street. The original in Norwalk. Classic dishes like cavatelli, spaghetti, lasagna, and vodka rigatoni. Top-notch pizza and awesome sandwiches. A great happy hour and Italian done right. Villaggio.
Sponsored by CC's. Now at CC's, you can order your own personal pizza. There's thousands of ways to customize it your way, included with your buffet. Just five and change at CC's. Dine-in only. Price may vary. Restrictions apply.
Dr. Pepper Snapple Group is now filling Des Moines area positions. Dr. Pepper Snapple Group is hiring full-time merchandisers to provide high-quality merchandising support for Dr. Pepper Snapple Group brands to retail stores within an assigned territory. Apply online at dpsg.com/careers. That's dpsg.com/careers. Or click the link on their website. Join the Dr. Pepper team and receive a $500 sign-on bonus. Wouldn't you like to be a Pepper too? Dr. Pepper Snapple Group, an equal opportunity employer.
When it's time to install the cabinets and countertops, pros don't have time to wait around for the cabinets and countertops. So the Home Depot ships on-trend Hampton Bay cabinets and countertops with select finishes in as little as 48 hours. And during our winter kitchen and bath event, pros get 10% off bulk orders of 10 or more. Save time, save money. There's no better time. The winter kitchen and bath event for pros, going on now at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing, valid through March 7th.
As a small business owner, you're always on the go. So how can you make sure you never miss a customer's call? Grasshopper. That's right. With Grasshopper, you get all of the features of a business phone system that's affordable and incredibly easy to use directly on your cell phone. You get a toll-free or vanity phone number that's memorable and professional. Customers are forwarded to your phone and connected to your team. And you can work from anywhere using Wi-Fi calling or our desktop app. And with our mobile app, your outgoing calls and texts show up as your professional phone number. Voicemails are transcribed and sent to your email, so you can determine their importance at a glance. So whether you're on the go or working from home and need to keep business calls separate, or you simply want a professional tone, Grasshopper makes it happen. Set up your account in just minutes. There are no long-term contracts, and support is 24/7. Get your calls, stay connected, thrive. Now get $20 off your first month when you visit grasshopper.com/radio. grasshopper.com/radio.
You don't need more sports, but you want more sports.
Rockstar Satellite can fix that with free next-day installation on DirecTV. Call Rockstar Satellite 515-262-STAR. Call today for next-day installation, 515-262-STAR.
1700 KBGG is your home for high school sports. Trek at it here. Join me Tuesdays with Tip-Off Tuesdays and Fridays on Fast Break Fridays here on 1700 KBGG. Play-by-play action with girls' boys doubleheaders and high school wrestling taking the airwaves during these cold winter months. It all culminates with the state wrestling tournament from Wells Fargo Arena, along with the girls' and boys' state basketball tournaments. Your home for high school sports in Central Iowa, 1700 KBGG.
Guys, are you ready to begin your journey to live life better? Are you feeling tired and worn down, or looking to improve performance and drive in the bedroom? Looking to burn fat and gain muscle? Then it's time to contact New Leaf Wellness. New Leaf Wellness offers a free, no-obligation consultation. Dr. Robert Seaman and the New Leaf staff will help craft a plan dedicated to you. From testosterone replacement therapy, advanced weight loss, to nutritional therapy, New Leaf Wellness strives to find the plan that will improve your quality of life. Dr. Robert Seaman and New Leaf Wellness, give them a call today at 515-650-1358. Again, 515-650-1358 for New Leaf Wellness. One more time, 515-650-1358. It's time to live life better with New Leaf Wellness. Call 515-650-1358. That's 515-650-1358.
Real sports talk for real sports fans. It's Jimmy B and TC. Here's Jim and Trent.
It's Jimmy B and TC, 1700 KBGG, with you until 6 o'clock tonight. Time to get into the Iowa Hawkeyes with our man Derek Peck, DP from HawkeyeHeaven.net is the website. Of course, a big Facebook following as well. Just put in your search bar Hawkeye Heaven and it'll pop up. DP, what's going on?
Oh, you know, just living the dream, guys. How are you doing?
Same. Things are good here. Not quite as good as they are in the world of Fran McCaffrey. We'll get into that in just a moment. Our conversations with Derek brought to you by our friends at Murphy Tower Service. Apprenticeship program going on. Earn while you learn with Murphy Tower Service. All the information at murphytower.com for their apprenticeship program and also careers available there. MurphyTower.com. All right, Derek, we find out today Scott Dochterman does some sleuthing, gets the open records request, and finds that Fran McCaffrey almost 2 months ago signed a contract extension. The university didn't release it. It's been a trying year. It's been a frustrating season, no doubt, but we'll keep it open-ended for you. Your takeaway when you heard that news today?
You know, does it surprise you with Gary Barta?
No.
He's so conservative when it comes to, you know, I mean, it's just a trend that he's shown with coaches and being almost overly loyal with his coaches. And I you can't necessarily argue with it. Everybody falls on one end of it or the other, and I would probably lean more towards the conservative side as well, just because I like having some continuity and stability with your coaches. I think that's a pretty incredible thing to say from the football side of things, that we've had, you know, the two same coaches for however many long, you know, what between Fry and Ferentz, it's been, I don't even know how many years it's been now, but it's, you know, it's pretty cool. But with Fran, it's a little different. This is, you know, his seat's certainly getting warm. It's been a disappointing season, and yeah. It couldn't have been an accident that they didn't want to release it when it happened, because they had a really rough start to the season. And, you know, I mean, it's just, I don't want to see Fran go, so I'm not ready for that yet. So I'm not that disappointed with it, but it's certainly surprising. And it just, he didn't need to do it right now, right? I mean, that's kind of my takeaway, is why would you do it now? But that's Gary Barta. I mean, if I have any questions with the Iowa athletics department or coaching staff, I like Fran. I want to keep him here. I like Ferentz. I want to keep him. And, you know, the jury's out on Barta, in my opinion.
All right, then let me follow up with that. So that's two contract extensions. First, the Ferentz one, which takes them into another millennium, and now this one with a huge buyout number as well. I mean, that pretty much tells you right there that he figured McCaffrey's not going anyplace except Iowa, no matter what happens on the court.
Yeah, see, and that's where I have a problem with it. I mean, at some point, you have to give your university a way out. And it's almost like he kind of pins them into a corner when you present a buyout that large, because it doesn't give you a way out. I mean, the only way out is to pay a absurd amount of money. And, you know, I mean, Iowa's certainly a profitable athletic department, fortunately. But when you're talking those types of numbers, I'm not sure it's realistic to think that we could afford to buy a coach out. But, you know, there's a lot of generous donors and stuff who may be willing to chip in if they were upset enough. But yeah, I mean, it's like he really ties your hands and doesn't give you a choice when the fan base, you know, very well two or three years from now, you never know what's going to happen. And if he can't get this thing turned around, then all of a sudden you've got quite the situation on your hands because you made this commitment to a coach that's hard to get out of. And I think at that point, honestly, that should put Barta, you know, on the hot seat, because he's the one that would put you in that position. And that's kind of why I said what I said earlier, which is, if anything, I'm more hesitant about him, just because I don't feel like he's always made what seems like easy decisions he seems to have struggled with, and that includes, you know, the whole dramatic situation with field hockey and Jane Meyer and all that. So it's just I've disagreed with some of the things he's done, and some of the things, you know, certainly appear from the outside looking in to be what most, at least in leadership or management, would consider to be easy decisions, and he's either had complete lack of oversight on that, or he's made a decision at times when it just doesn't seem like it was necessary to do it that soon.
Derek, we go from this conversation of Fran McCaffrey, and we know he certainly will be the coach for next season and into the foreseeable future. Coming off the heels of probably their best game of the season, certainly up there, the way they played against Wisconsin, it looked like the passion was back, the effort was there. Defensively, they're getting out and playing. Maybe, just maybe, this little extension will become a whimper if Iowa can continue to play good basketball. Your takeaway from the victory against the Badgers, and I understand Wisconsin isn't very good, but at the very least, a nice thing to see out of this group.
That was great to see, yeah. You know, that's what I was going to say, is Wisconsin's, what are they, like 10-11 right now? So I was going to say, if there's, I know that they expected it to be a down year in Wisconsin, but if there's one team that has had a bigger turnaround as far as going from really good to really bad as in a comparable fashion to Iowa, it's Wisconsin. I mean, their fans have got to be really upset with what they've seen out of their basketball team this year, and Greg Gard is probably squarely on the hot seat when they're performing this poorly. But yeah, you know, where they really played a complete game. And Luke Garza, I mean, he's just, you know, we talked last week about needing a leader and needing some fire and needing, I think we even went as far as saying they need an a-hole on the court. And, you know, Garza, I'm not saying he's that, but he at least shows some fire, and boy, he really gets him motivated. And I think it's contagious when he's playing as well as he has been. And, you know, putting up 17 points against Wisconsin when they've got some pretty good post players, you know, I mean, it's just really impressive for a true freshman to play like that. And it was, certainly appeared like it was contagious, and it rubbed off on his teammates, and they put a whole game together and were able to put the beat down on Wisconsin, which is always nice to see.
Look, 2-7 is not a record that you're going to brag about, but in Iowa's dire straits, a win is a win. They have a couple of games coming up here, including the game on the weekend at Nebraska. It's a winnable game, but Nebraska has played well in their home building.
They have, you know, and it's not only, that's what's nice about the timing of the Wisconsin win and just how well they played, is that it came at the right time, because this is, you know, in my opinion, this is probably their best chance, you know, for the rest of the season to win a few games. They've got Nebraska, Minnesota, and Penn State, all which, in my opinion, are winnable. I'm not saying that they're better than those teams, but they're winnable games. Just prior to meeting Michigan State and Ohio State, which, you know, and then Michigan, and then those three games are almost guaranteed losses, unless we see a massive turnaround. But you know, the Wisconsin win came at a good time, and hopefully give them some momentum, and they can go into this stretch of winnable games here and come out, you know, with some confidence going into Michigan State at least.
Yeah, a chance to, you know, if they can go 2-3 in this stretch, get some positive momentum. And the biggest thing is just the way that they played, you know, the way that they competed. They were having fun. There were smiles on the faces. And Isaiah Moss is going to the rim. Bohannon's doing his thing, double-digit assists. You're getting kind of what we expected out of this group. And a big thing that Jim and I talked about yesterday, Derek, was, you know, the play of Luka Garza. They don't have that demonstrative leader, but him out there hooting and hollering and throwing an extra elbow time or two to Ethan Happ. Having a guy like that, yeah, he's only a freshman, but a freshman becomes sophomores. It seems like maybe he has the kind of temperament that can become a leader inside this program.
Absolutely, and that's, you know, I mean, again, we talked about this last week. That's what I hope they're out on the transfer market looking for in the off season is another guy that's similar to Garza with that sort of just competitive fire and mentality. But it's a positive sign looking into the future, and that's really why I'm not at a point where I'm frustrated with Fran enough to even consider firing him. It's primarily because of what they have coming in. Actually, I just reached out to Joe Wieskamp this morning, and we're going to do an interview with him, so we'll have that interview up on Hawkeye Heaven probably in the next couple of days, and I'm excited about that. But, you know, when you think about guys like Wieskamp coming in and you see how Garza's playing right now, it's a great sign for the future, because I think what we've seen out of Garza is that he's a guy you could really circle and say this young man's going to be a leader for the team in the next several years, and they really need somebody like that, because, you know, it doesn't seem like Wieskamp is all that strong-minded. He's a heck of a player, but not that type of competitive, get an edge against your opponent type of kid like Garza seems to be developing into.
Derek Beck is our guest, Hawkeye Heaven, right here on the Big Talker 1700. Okay, let's get into a couple of things. We talked about the stretch coming up and what is available, and none of these teams are really any better than what Iowa has been. On this stretch, would you take a 2-2 record? Does it have to be 3-1 for you? Or, Lord forbid, if they don't do well at all and they're 1-3 or 0-4. Where are you on this, Derek?
I'm cautiously optimistic. I mean, I think anything less than 2-2 less to me would be a major disappointment. I'm hoping for 3-1. I think they're capable of that. So, I think they can beat Nebraska. I think they can beat all three of these teams. You know, they played Penn State pretty well early on as well. So, I'm optimistic about how they played against Wisconsin, and that's just kind of my nature. So, let's hope for more than one win for sure.
More than one. That would be a good thing. Absolutely.
Wow. They got to get it. That's going to be a real interesting fan base.
Good stuff. Hey, Derek, as always, good catching up with you. We'll do it again next week. Thanks for your time today.
Sounds good. Thanks, fellas.
DP Derek Peck joining us. HawkeyeHeaven.net is where you can find him. And give them a follow today as well on Twitter at Hawkeye Heaven. Our conversation is presented by Murphy Tower Service and the apprenticeship program. Again, going on right now. Get in there, earn while you learn with Murphy Tower, and online at murphytower.com. Jimmy B, what do you see? We'll talk about the Nebraska matchup a little bit more, obviously, in tomorrow's show. But
right,
did what they did against Wisconsin on Tuesday night do enough for you to believe they at least got a little run in them, that they can win 2 out of 3, something like that, and get some positive momentum before they play Michigan State?
Look, these four games, and they already have one win under their belt, the one they got at home against Whiskey, are extremely important just for the young guys to maybe get a little confidence going and get a little swagger back. If they walk into Nebraska and get beat in that building, the heads are going to be hanging again, Trent. I think it's imperative that they play well on the road at Nebraska. And I can't wrap my arms around this team, because I don't know which team is going to show up. We thought against Purdue that we both picked them to lose the game, but we thought that they would be in it, and they were out of it in the first 7 minutes of the game, and at halftime trailed by 30. and the emotion and everything else that was in the building for that night with Chris Street and his parents there was unbelievable, and they were just terrible. So then you get a lackluster crowd, and they go and just beat the hell out of Wisconsin. I don't know. I wish I could be more positive about it and say, yeah, I think they can win three of the four, maybe two and two. I don't know, Trent. I don't know what we're going to get until we see it come Saturday night when they play in Lincoln. I just can't get a feel of this team. Just like when we thought after they had won a game or two and we felt, okay, they've turned the corner, then they get routed and they go right in the dumper. I don't know. That's just me. Do you have a feel on this yet or not?
Oh, no, not at all. I mean, it came completely out of left field after what happened on Saturday, the way that they competed, the way that they – and that was the effort. And if they lose to Nebraska but they play hard and they just get beat, then Nebraska's a pretty good team. Watching them against Ohio State and Rutgers this week, this is a pretty talented team. The transfers that Miles brought in, I've been impressed by. So if they go out there and they lose a tight game and they lose 74-68 and they played hard and they just weren't good enough, I'm fine with that. The problem will be if we see the same kind of effort that we saw a week ago Saturday, the same kind of effort that we've seen so many times. That more than win-loss, that's what I'm going to be looking for out of this group, especially in the game Saturday against the Cornhuskers. With that, we're due for a break. We'll come back here on the other side as we take you up until 6 o'clock tonight. It's Jimmy B and TC on 1700.
And welcome back, everybody. Now we're going to do some Big Ten conversation with Big Ten Conference insider Kent Silverstein. Kenny, how are you, and how excited are you tonight for Michigan and Purdue?
Yeah, it should be a real good matchup. Obviously, Purdue's as hot as anybody in the country, and you can make an argument that they could be, and they're close enough that you can back it up, could be the number one team as of this conversation. They're not there yet, but they're knocking on the door. Going against Michigan, who is ranked 25th, is going to go a long way of moving them up just a little bit. Right now, they are the best team in the Big Ten. And as I said moments ago, you can make an argument that they are, from A to Z, the best team in the country. Michigan is playing better. Doesn't look like the team that blew a 20-point lead earlier this season in a conference game against Ohio State. Granted, it was on the road, but still a bad loss when you have a 20-point lead and then end up losing. So Michigan playing better, Purdue playing lights out. Yeah, one of the better games so far in the Big Ten basketball-wise. We've got a couple coming up in February that are going to be good, at least on paper. But right now, this is one of, if not the best potential matchup we've seen all year long.
So we get a good one there on the other side. Another game tonight in the Big Ten. Penn State making their way over to your neck of the woods, taking on the Buckeyes. Surprise of the conference, no doubt. Maybe one of the surprises in all of college basketball is what Chris Holtmann's been able to do with this group. It's been fun to watch. It really has. And boy, you got to figure Buckeye fans. I know it's a football school, Ken, but they got to be excited of the future. Holtmann coming in, taking a team that nobody anticipated even be an NCAA tournament team, and doing what he is.
Well, I tell you what. We all make predictions. Sometimes we're right. Sometimes we're wrong. I'm going to raise my hand along with many other people if they're being honest. No one saw this coming. Seriously. No one saw this coming. Look, they got one player who's a late first-round pick in the NBA draft, and everybody else is, quite frankly, a very average college basketball player. You know, you watch him and you say to yourself, self, how in the hoot are they doing this? Now, look, what are they, 18-4, 9-0 in the conference? They play Purdue at Mackey. I want to say that is February 7th. Yeah, that's a Wednesday. Also happens to be National Signing Day, part two. They're not a Purdue class. It could get a little ugly. I think Purdue's going to want to send a statement at this point, basketball-wise. But if he's got an 18-4 and 9-0, if not only is he not going to be the coach, not only should he be the coach of the year of the Big Ten, okay, he should be under very heavy, heavy, heavy consideration at this point, subject to change, he's got a ways to go, for Coach of the Year in the entire college basketball world, that he's been able to pull this off. And as I said last week, he was not their first choice.
Mm-hmm.
He was debatably third or fourth choice on their list. And you know what? If you have a college basketball opening and you're not Kentucky and you're not North Carolina and one of the quick Duke, let's say, one of the Blue Bloods, and you need to hire somebody, it's not a bad place to go. Go to Indianapolis and go to Butler. Because everyone over the last umpteen years, including Brad Stevens and Chris Holtman and Skip Prosser and others, have come out of that fine institution of higher learning and have done a really great job. And so a hint to ADs who are listening, if you got a gig, it might not be a bad idea to dial 317 as an area code. Call downtown Indianapolis and say, hey, I'd like to talk to you. You're the head coach at Butler. I'd like to talk to you about my gig here at blankety blank.
Ken Silverstein is our guest right here on the Big Talker 1700. All right. Every time we talk to you, we talk about the Big Ten and the downer year that it has been for the Big Ten. Now, we're starting to see maybe the emergence a little bit of some lower-tiered teams. And I'm going to start with Nebraska, Ken. Look, they're not world beaters, but at least they are competitive most of the time in their games. What has Tim Miles done to get Nebraska kind of sort of back?
Well, so I'm against Ohio State the other night. They play small. They play hard. And in a down year where there aren't, you know, NBA future potential draft picks on every roster, not even close, if you play hard and you shoot the ball okay, maybe better than okay some nights, you know, you can win games. They played very well at home. They've had more difficulty on the road. Well, that's normal for most Big Ten teams unless you're, you know, just loaded to the gills with talent. And so I think he's done a really nice job. And are they NCAA bound? Right now I'd say no. But, you know, just looking at the numbers here, what are they, 6-4, 15-8, 10, they're going to have to win at least, 10, they're going to have to win at least 4 to 5 more games in conference. But if they can do that and then get a victory in round one, that would give them, my math is correct, about 20, 21 wins, max 22. They might be able to slide in as a fifth team in this conference. Because right now, obviously Purdue's in, Michigan State, Ohio State, and Michigan. We've talked about basically those four for the last few weeks. The question is, will the Big Ten get a fifth team? And right now, if you just look at the standings, Nebraska's there, but they're not loaded talent-wise. They don't have a ton of size. They play a small roster. They play a small lineup, which is fine. Golden State plays a small lineup, and they're going to win another NBA championship. Now, look, there are no Kevin Durants and Draymond Greens and others roaming this roster. I get that, but the theory is somewhat the same. Play small, spread them out, drive the basket, kick it out, and hopefully hit a three-pointer. That's the way a lot of teams are playing today, and if you can do it effectively, you can win some games. So Coach Miles and the Huskers have done a nice job so far. So they got a way to go. They got Iowa coming up on Saturday. That's a big game for both. Iowa obviously needs to win to keep winning, and Nebraska needs to win because first of all, they're at home. They play well at home, and because they need to stay within reach of people thinking about them as a possibility as a NCAA viable option, let's say.
Big Ten, we've kind of gone through all the different maturations of things. It's been a disappointment for Iowa. It's been a disappointment for Minnesota. Disappointment for Northwestern. Wisconsin has been a disappointment. There's been a lot of them this season, but big picture. This conference hasn't won a national title since 2000 when Michigan State cut down the nets. We've seen Purdue look incredibly good here over the last month. We know the talent at Michigan State. Do you see either of those teams good enough, though, to break through and not get to a Final Four or even a championship game, but win 6 straight and win the whole dang thing?
Well, I would say if you just look at pure talent, I'll stick to my guns and still believe that Michigan State has pure better talent. More future NBA players, more top 15, 20 picks. I'd say right now, I think it's a down year, okay, just across the board. I was talking to somebody yesterday, and this is a guy that has scouted the NBA for a long time, and he's scouting right now for an NBA team, and I was asking him, all right, the Bagley kid's going to be a top 1-2 pick. The kid over in Europe is really good. Trey Young is going to be a top probably 5 pick, et cetera, et cetera. You know, he said, well, it's a really good draft. But one of the problems for those trying to figure out who's going to make the Final Four and win this thing, he said, there's really no dominant team. He said, Duke's got a lot of players, but for whatever reason, it just hasn't totally worked for Coach K yet this year. He said, North Carolina's down. He said, Kentucky is not Kentucky. I don't know what the hoot is going on there. They have all these, you know, 5-stud players, and it's not working in Lexington. He said, on the West Coast, he said, I don't see anything. He said, Arizona's pretty good, but you don't know game in, game out. Arizona State had a nice run, but they've come back to the pack. UCLA, he said, you know, they're not what they were last year. He said, Oregon lost a lot of players to the NBA, and, you know, they got a funky floor, but other than that, I'm not too excited about Oregon. So, you know, he said, look, Villanova's nice, and Jay Wright can fly out coach, and, you know, there are a couple other teams that are sort of like that, but there's no clear cut. They are the team to beat. This team is so good, they're going to destroy people. There's nobody like that. And so it's, in some ways, wide open, which is great for the Big Ten, for Purdue and Michigan State, because they're the two best teams. But just something tells me, and I hope I'm wrong, that I think both can get to Elite Eight. But again, a lot of it is also, guys, and you know this as well, if not better than I, until we print up the brackets and look at the brackets and see where teams are going and see who they play in round one, round two, et cetera, et cetera, and see who might have the easier path, so much of that has to be rolled into which one of those teams has a better shot. If one of those two teams gets in a bad bracket and the road is going to be difficult, and the other one gets into one and you look at it and go, man, oh, man, this looks pretty easy. All they need to do is just play the level they should play at. They got a shot. So we'll know a lot more when Selection Sunday rolls around and we look at the brackets and we go, okay, this makes sense for Team A or not so much for Team B. I think both can get to Elite Eight. I think it will depend on the brackets of any one of those two. But I don't know about you guys. I don't see anybody that I look at. Virginia? No, I know. They got a nice record, but I've seen Virginia the last few years, and they always fail.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're like,
yes,
Kansas.
Yeah.
I don't put stock in Kansas, you know, getting it done, because they have all this talent year in, year out. Thank you, Bill Self, for recruiting some of the great players in the country, and they don't win enough in the tournament. And the same thing with Virginia over the last couple of years. They just, you know, they win a lot of games in the regular season. They play great defense. They keep the game, you know, low scoring. And then they get into the tournament, and they get knocked down in round one or two. And you're looking at your bracket going, what the hoot just happened here? I'm screwed because Virginia lost or Kansas lost or whomever has disappointed you over the last few years.
Ken, we'll let you run on this one. Fran McCaffrey apparently had a double secret signing contract. I feel like I'm doing Animal House here, a double secret probation. Apparently it happened in November, and it was just kind of brought to everybody's attention now. But his buyout in the first year is over $10 million.
Wow.
Has Gary Barta once again, he did it with Kirk Ferentz, has he done it now with Fran McCaffrey, sold his soul to the devil?
I got to tell you, I need to work for the Hawkeyes. Seriously, I need a gig. Gary, please hire me. Please, I'm available. Oh man, that's a lot of money. And look, not everything in life is equal or fair. And I don't know how much money the big boosters at Iowa have. I have no idea, quite frankly. And I don't know what kind of money they have to stack up against some of the big, real big boys in the conference, like Michigan, like Ohio State and so forth. All I know is if they eventually ever want to buy these guys out, this is a big, big check. And whomever the big, big, big boosters are, I'm thinking to myself, if I'm one of them, let's see here. If we ever want to get out of this deal, this is going to hurt the coffers here a little bit. But we're not, you know, that's a lot of money. So if you're asking me would I have done it, not at that price, no. No, I wouldn't have done it. And the timing isn't good because it's one thing to do it, let's say, in November, and it rolls out publicly whenever it did, and now you look at the standings and you say to yourself, 2-7 and 11-11, and you go, what did we do here? Or at least some might be thinking that. So, like everything in life, timing is everything, and I'm not sure the timing for a down season works a whole bunch, considering the amount of money that was thrown in regards to that very expensive extension. We'll just leave it at that.
It's the buyout. It's the buyout, and Barta got taken once again. No surprise. Last thing for you, Ken, before we let you run, what's happening out there? What's the latest with your buddy LeBron?
Hey, guys, how much time we have? I know we only got a minute or so. Seriously. They're home tomorrow night against Indiana, who they have played terribly against this year. Can't wait to show up and work my buds to see what the hoot is going on. In a nutshell, Jim mentioned Animal House earlier, as we both date ourselves here. Thank you, Mr. Belushi and the boys. It's Animal House. Let's put it this way. It makes Animal House look tame. Egos, contract situations, meaning LeBron, meaning he can leave at the end of the season, age, lack of effort. There's a lot going on. Most of it is not very good. The trading deadline is 2 weeks from today. The hot rumor now is Kevin Love for Hassan Whiteside of the Miami Heat. We'll see if that pans out. I have doubts about that. There have been rumors about George Hill. He would help. It would be a cheap deal. I mean, they wouldn't have to give up a whole bunch with Sacramento to make that move. They're still looking at DeAndre Jordan of the L.A. Clippers. I see not only one, I could see at least two deals made between now, and that would be February 8th when we hit the deadline. They are in a panic situation. There's also a rumor out there that Dan Gilbert, the longtime owner, is looking to sell the club. Maybe he's seeing LeBron getting out of Dodge. He knows the value of his franchise will drop by a couple hundred million dollars when that occurs, and maybe he's trying to get rid of the franchise before that decision is made. So there is so much going on. It's literally a full-time job trying to make sense of all of this.
Ken Silverstein joining us here. Ken, as always, good catching up with you. Thanks for your time today.
Look forward to it. We'll talk to you next Thursday, guys.
All right, good stuff out of Ken, as always, from his Ohio outpost, catching up on the Big Ten. And I always got to throw in that Cleveland question along with it. Well, we are done. We have run out of time for today. Enjoy your sports night. A little basketball, perhaps. A couple other things certainly going on out there. But we will keep our eye on the Big Ten tonight. A couple of games. Ohio State tries to remain undefeated. Purdue, Michigan, I'm hopeful maybe we'll get a decent one there. And we'll be back tomorrow. It's a Friday. Not really a football Friday, though, unfortunately. No football. At least real football. There's the exhibition games and the Senior Bowl and things like that. Pro Bowl, don't worry. We won't be talking about that. We'll get ready for the sports weekend with you. Tomorrow on the program, we start things off each and every day with the Ken Miller Show with myself, Trent Condon, from noon until 2, and then Jimmy B and TC from 4 until 6 o'clock. Thanks to everybody out there for listening in once again. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a good night, everybody.